What if someone discovered you were a fraud? That gnawing feeling in your gut, the one that whispers, you're not really qualified, not really talented, not really deserving of success, is more universal than you think. It's the fear that one day, the universe will expose you as an imposter, strip away everything you've built, and sentence you to a life of mediocrity. Yet here's the paradox. Despite this terror, you keep showing up, you keep creating, you keep sharing your work with the world. This tension between fear and action defines the creative life, and it's precisely where authenticity begins. The question isn't whether you'll feel like a fraud, it's whether you'll create anyway. Early in his career, chasing $1 million annual income seemed like the ultimate target. That goal dictated every decision, saying yes to nearly everything, working 80-hour weeks, designing websites for professional athletes despite having zero interest in sports. The money came, but so did something unexpected: emptiness. Making lots of money didn't create fulfillment. It created exhaustion and disconnection from meaningful work. Here's the uncomfortable truth. Money is a terrible primary goal because it has nothing to do with your values. It's a measuring stick that tells you nothing about whether you're living well or creating work that matters. This doesn't mean money is evil. It's an enabler, an amplifier. If you're focused on helping others, money lets you do more good. It also serves as feedback, measuring how much people value what you offer. But until you define what enough means for you personally, you'll always be chasing an arbitrary number that never satisfies. Consider the contract accountant who accepts projects until he's covered his necessities in retirement savings, then stops working and travels for months. He's defined his enough. This clarity creates freedom, the freedom to say no, to take time off, to explore interests beyond income generation. Once you abandon the endless pursuit of more, you can let your values guide your work instead. What matters to you? Who do you want to serve? What kind of impact do you want to make? Living frugally with minimal business expenses helps maintain this freedom. When your overhead is low, you need less income to sustain your lifestyle, which means you can be more selective about projects and clients. You can take time to write, travel, or simply think. The intersection between enjoying what you do and getting paid for it becomes the sweetest place of all, not because you've maximized income, but because you've optimized for meaning. Remember choosing your own adventure as a kid? Most of us abandoned that mindset entering the real world. Schools rewarded conformity. Corporations promoted playbook followers. But the world's greatest rewards go to the boldest innovators. Consider Airbnb, which succeeded by ignoring conventional hospitality wisdom, or Square, which reimagined payment processing by questioning every industry assumption. If there were one guaranteed business formula, everyone would be wealthy. Since copying others guarantees nothing, why not experiment with your own approach? This doesn't mean reckless abandon. It means intentional deviation. Work at midnight if that's when you're sharpest. Price services based on value rather than industry standards. If your experiment fails, you pivot. The path less traveled often leads to unexpected opportunities because you're solving problems others haven't considered. The most effective approach isn't following passion blindly. It's finding where your skills, interests, and market demand intersect. A passionate photographer might find success not in fine art, but solving specific business problems through commercial photography. Success comes from building sustainably at this intersection, where your skills create genuine value for people willing to pay for solutions. Most businesses mimic industry leaders. Same layouts, same tone, same forgettable presence. We've been conditioned since childhood to fit in, masking our quirks with business jargon as if authenticity might undermine credibility. But without your weirdness, your work can't stand out. Consider Karen, a yoga teacher in an oversaturated market. Instead of projecting the serene, enlightened image expected of instructors, she does every pose with her dog Willow and openly discusses her struggles with depression. She succeeds because of her authenticity, not despite it. Authenticity isn't a marketing strategy, it's a filter. When you show up as yourself, you naturally attract people who resonate with your genuine personality while repelling poor fits. This self-selection creates stronger client relationships and more satisfying work. Your weirdness is your competitive advantage. Use it. Our fear of failure prevents us from trying, yet not trying guarantees failure. With trivial challenges, puzzles, games, simple tasks, we dive in without hesitation. But with meaningful work, fear becomes paralyzing. Ask yourself, if your worst fear came true, would you die? Could you try again? Most fears boil down to judgment from others, yet letting their potential judgment stop you only hurts yourself. Here's a powerful reframe. What if everything you fear losing is something you're grateful to have? You fear losing your relationship because it's vital. You fear illness because you've been healthy. You fear business failure because you've built something meaningful. Fear signals value, and you acquired those things by taking risks. You wouldn't have your partner without risking heartbreak. You wouldn't have your business without risking financial security. The solution isn't eliminating fear, it's acknowledging it and acting anyway. This leads to mistakes, and people will unsubscribe, unfollow, or criticize. But pushing past fear creates opportunities you can't imagine from silence. Start small. Terrified of public speaking? Begin in small meetings, then team presentations, then conference talks. Each small push builds capacity for bigger ones. Fear only has the power you give it. Once you act, fear loses its grip. The imagined catastrophe is always worse than reality. Traditional education treats failure as shameful, creating paralysis that stifles creativity. Yet breakthrough ideas emerge through iteration, not perfection. Thomas Edison made over 1,000 unsuccessful attempts before inventing the light bulb. James Dyson created 5,126 failed prototypes before his revolutionary vacuum cleaner. J.K. Rowling faced rejection from 12 publishers before Harry Potter succeeded. These examples reveal that failure isn't just acceptable, it's essential. Successful creators focus on good enough, quality worth sharing while leaving room for improvement. Stephen King emphasizes that waiting for perfect prose means no books get published. Picasso produced thousands of works, not all masterpieces, but each contributed to his development. Reframe your work as experiments. Scientists don't fail when hypotheses are disproven, they gather valuable data. Successful people persist despite setbacks. By embracing imperfection and viewing each attempt as part of a larger journey, you free yourself from perfectionism's paralysis and focus on meaningful progress. Show up every day, especially when uninspired. Inspiration is overrated. Everyone exceptional at their craft practices relentlessly. The most successful creators commit regardless of emotional state or circumstances. Write 500 words daily. Treat it like brushing teeth. Non-negotiable. Design every time you're hired, whether for major clients or small projects. Sometimes it's awful, sometimes portfolio worthy. You increase your odds of better work by tackling it daily. Paradoxically, when you don't feel like creating and do it anyway, you often produce your best work. Creative work on demand requires consistent practice. When uninspired but facing deadlines, start small. Pick a typeface, choose colors, see how they interact. Breaking work into tiny pieces transforms intimidating projects into manageable chunks. Most days begin with a knot in your stomach. What if your next work isn't as popular? What if people realize you're a fraud? These fears signal you're pushing beyond your comfort zone, exactly where growth happens. Acknowledge these thoughts, then work anyway. Action is the antidote to anxiety. Your business exists for your people, those who value your work and consistently show up. Start with 5 dedicated customers or 10 passionate followers. Quality trumps quantity. Finding your people requires introspection. Who energizes you? How does your work impact their lives? Build connections through personal responses, solving problems proactively, and adapting to their needs. Authenticity matters. People sense when you're genuine versus selling. Plant your flag. This is what we stand for. Patagonia's environmental activism isn't marketing, it's their battle cry. REI closing on Black Friday declares their values. Your rallying point should attract people who share your worldview, even if controversial. This might mean adapting, teaching instead of selling prints, consulting instead of creating. Stay flexible while honoring your core values. Meaningful work is built one unglamorous day at a time. Your weirdness is your asset. Your fears are signposts to growth. Your imperfect attempts are mastery's raw material. Stop waiting for permission. Your small army awaits work only you can create.